Hi, and thank you for joining me today for this edition of Senior Talk. We have some good news to share today with regard to Medicare. My guest is Max Richmond, President and CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. If you're a regular listener, I'm sure you enjoy hearing him. The National Committee, one of my favorite organizations, is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that acts in the interest of its membership through advocacy, education, services, grassroots efforts, and the leadership of a board of directors and professional staff. The work of the National Committee is directed toward helping better informed citizens and voters. The membership is just $12 a year, and seriously, that's the best bang for your buck that you're going to get if you are looking for accurate information that continually impacts older adults. And to sign up for that, log on to www.ncpssm.org, or you can type in National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare in Google, and it will pop right up for you. Hi, Max. Thank you so much for being here and sharing good news with us.
Well, nice to be with you. Thanks for inviting me again. And thank you for the kind words about the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare.
Honestly, Max, there is so much noise now, more than any time in history, between social media and news outlets. And news is literally 24/7. And it's very difficult to find information that you can trust that's accurate and current. And so I seriously applaud you for the work you do, because it's important to have a place to go that you know is safe, and that you know if you read it there, it's the truth, and you don't have to worry about it. And $12, I mean, that's I spend more than that on pizza on a regular basis. So let's start. It's rare that we actually say we have good news about Medicare. So let's start there. One of the major things that's on everyone's mind, including the president, discussed this, and I want to get into that, and our own Angus King is on this train as well. The $35 cap on insulin. So talk to me about what that really means.
Well, what it means is that there will be considerable relief for many seniors who need to take insulin. You know, insulin, I think it's been around for about 100 years, but pharmaceutical manufacturers have managed somehow to keep the price extremely high, forcing some Medicare beneficiaries to ration their drug of the insulin or skip doses. And you're right, the president highlighted this in a very stark way at the State of the Union by pointing to that little boy in the gallery who needs insulin, and it's a life-saving drug. It should not cost $200 or $300 a month to make insulin available for those who need it. And the good news that you referred to as far as Medicare goes, and there are a number of points I know we're going to talk about, there's a improvement in the Medicare program when it comes to insulin by virtue of regulation. As you know, we have tried since 2003 to get to the heart of the high cost of not just insulin, but all drugs, by giving the government the authority to negotiate for the best price, which it specifically is prohibited from doing with the pharmaceutical companies. But that is kind of stuck over in the Senate, that legislation that would give negotiating authority. So we're looking everywhere we can for a little bit of good news. And by regulation, no legislation required, a kind of a pilot program has been established since the beginning of this year. It's called the Part D. Part D is the prescription drug component of Medicare. Part D senior savings model. And it will lower the cost for many seniors for insulin. It's not legislation. It won't go on indefinitely, but for a short period of time, it could help. And as you pointed out this just a little while ago to our staff, your own Senator King, Angus King, is promoting legislation that would limit the cost to $35 and put that in law as a cap. Now, we would like to see that across the board. We would like to see that nationally, but God bless Senator Angus King for taking the initiative to do this. He's been a terrific supporter of our issues, Social Security and Medicare, since he's been in the U.S. Senate, and we really thank him for the initiative. Hopefully it's a model. It will spur others to do the same kind of thing for their states. So we look forward to working with him on that proposal.
As I understand it, Maine is the only state that is putting forth a proposal like this. We do have a motto in the state: as Maine goes, so goes the nation. So I hope that that holds true in this sense. I think that it will. So on the legislation that Senator King is doing, that would be across the board for the state of Maine, correct? Because I'll tell you what makes me nervous is when pharmaceutical companies are working with Part D and they're doing select insulins. I know from experience with seniors I've talked to that the Part D formularies can change at will. And while seniors are not allowed to change their plans midstream, there's an open enrollment and that's the only chance you have, pharmaceutical companies, at least it used to be this way, and I'm hoping you're going to tell me that it isn't anymore, they can just change it whenever they want to. So you might have insulin that's $35 one month and $200 the next. Can you address that?
Well, your skepticism is well-founded. We have seen the pharmaceutical companies manipulate formularies, try to end run generics that are being brought to market by essentially buying them out, changing one small thing in a formulary that will extend the life of a brand name and prevent a generic from becoming available. So I only became familiar with Senator Angus King's proposal from you just a little while ago, and I haven't explored it in detail, but I am going to. I know him pretty well. We supported him when he ran for the Senate, and I'm going to try to find out more details about his plan as soon as I can.
It's very new. So I just saw it in the paper myself and on local news. So, but it's pretty exciting. I do know for a fact that a senior who was paying, I want to say $78, the numbers could be fuzzy, a month for insulin, and the next month it was over 300. So that's the piece that concerns me when this is not an across the board legislation. This is what's happening. You're paying $35 and that's the end. So this senior savings model, are you saying this would kind of be a temporary workaround?
I think
to get drug lowered.
It's not legislation that's signed into law. I think it may be another approach to kind of cracking the stranglehold of the pharmaceutical companies on drugs, and with insulin being the most visible problem for so many people in terms of cost, primarily since, a drug that's been around for 100 years that cost about $10 to produce should not be available at 20, 30 times that for those who need this life-saving drug.
And it doesn't cost that in other countries. And I think that's the difficult pill to swallow, that in Canada, it doesn't cost that amount of money. So it's pure greed on the part of the pharmaceutical companies.
Absolutely correct.
At the State of the Union, Does the president support, and I'm thinking he does, Medicare negotiating drug prices with pharmaceutical companies? Because that's a sticking point, I know.
I watch the State of the Union very carefully. The staff had a call as soon as it ended and put together a press statement. And we commented on the prescription drug negotiation issue. As I said at the outset here with you this morning, we opposed that prohibition that was put into law in 2003 when Medicare added a prescription drug benefit. You know, that was, I was in the gallery of the House when that was being debated. I left around 2 in the morning, and by the time I got up the next morning, I read that this provision that prohibits the Medicare from negotiating for the best price was put into the law. And you know who was in the room in the middle of the night when that was stuck into the bill? It was the pharmaceutical industry, pharma. It was not the National Committee to Preserve Social Security that was in the room when that deal was made. So we have been trying ever since 2003 to turn that around. And his State of the Union, I remember so clearly the president saying, and by the way, we ought to give the government the authority to negotiate for the best price. You know, most people think that makes so much sense. You have an entity, the federal government, Medicare, representing tens of millions of people, and they're held hostage to the pharmaceutical companies. That doesn't make any sense.
It does not make any sense. And I love the word held hostage because that's exactly what it is. Max, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will talk about other more good news on the Medicare front. Stay with us. There's much more to come with Max Richmond. Hi, we're back with Max Richmond talking about the Medicare, and we discussed insulin and a proposed nationally and luckily locally $35 cap on insulin. Max, one of the other things that is happening is more access to physician assistant services. Finding a doctor, a medical doctor, sometimes is challenging, and second level tiered medical professionals who are just as good are often what you see, nurse practitioners, physician's assistants. But they were not able to bill for Medicare, is that right? If you went in to see them, they couldn't bill Medicare for
correct.
Your service.
And that has changed starting beginning of this year through regulations, through the Department of Health and Human Services. And now beneficiaries, Medicare beneficiaries, can see physician assistants in most cases if a doctor, as you pointed out, is unavailable. And now, finally, a physician assistant can bill Medicare directly for the services they perform. Bottom line, that means Medicare beneficiaries can be treated by physician assistants. And as you pointed out a few minutes ago, there in certain instances, just as qualified to treat a patient, and their access to them is much more readily available. So this is another improvement. I commend the administration for doing whatever it can by regulation to improve the lives of Medicare beneficiaries. We've kind of been stymied with legislation that we preferred. Some good legislation on improving Medicare passed the House. As you well know, it's stuck over in the Senate. The legislation that passed the House had negotiation authority for prescription drugs, and it was not as broad as we liked. It was limited to a fairly small number of drugs that would grow over time. We wanted dental, vision, and hearing covered in Medicare. The House bill only covers hearing, but that's good. That, again, is stuck over in the Senate. So whatever the administration the Biden administration can do by regulation to improve Medicare for beneficiaries, we're grateful for.
So I don't want to get into this, but I'm going to just briefly. When you say stuck in the Senate as we head to the polls later this year, what does that mean specifically for people to take with them that these sometimes life-saving proposals are stuck in the Senate, meaning they probably are not going to come to pass? Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, as you know, the Senate is evenly divided, 50-50. The Democrats are the majority by virtue of the fact the Vice President, Vice President Harris, is a Democrat, of course, and breaks the tie. The Vice President is also the President of the Senate, but can only vote in the event that there's a tie. So with a 50-50 vote split, you're going to see a lot of ties that the vice president can break. So the legislation that would improve Medicare and do a lot of other things, it's called the Build Back Better Act that includes some of the things I talked about, improvements in Medicare, passed the House and supported only by Democrats in the Senate. And we know that Senator Manchin, one of those 50, and as you know, the two Senator King and Senator Sanders caucus with the Democrats. They count towards that majority. But Senator Manchin has refused to go along to be that 50th vote, and therefore that legislation that we've talked about it stalled in the Senate. Now, I've been reading in the last few days that there will be hearings in the next month on some of these components of what has been stalled in the Senate, and maybe pieces of it can be passed with the support of Senator Manchin. This is a possible only because it's done by virtue of it's called the reconciliation legislation that does not require a two-thirds vote to overcome a filibuster, but only requires a bare majority, 51, to pass. So we haven't given up on that.
And that's good news for sure that you're going to keep on this. We have to go to break. We're really tight on time. But when we come back, I want to talk about the more mental health options in Medicare. Stay with us. There's lots more to come with Max Richman. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk, Max Richman, discussing more good news about Medicare. I do want to give you a phone number, though, if you want to contact the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, 1-800-966-1935, 1-800-966-1935, or log on to the National Committee to Preserve Social Security, put that in your search bar and it will come right up. Max, good news on the mental health options. Talk to me briefly about what that means for people.
Well, it is good news and similar to the other improvements that we talked about with physician assistance and insulin savings. This year, finally, this administration has obviously recognized that mental health in many cases is just as important as physical health, physical well-being. And so as a consequence, Medicare now can bring direct care into patients' homes by providing mental and behavioral services through telephone calls. You know, in a lot of places, I think maybe in Maine, and is including Maine, broadband may not be that available. Access to it may not be that available. So telephone is pretty reliable. So behavioral health services will be available by telephone call. This means that therapy sessions, counseling, treatment of substance abuse disorders, such as opioid treatment programs, will be more readily available to Medicare beneficiaries by telephone. And all of these benefits that were accomplished by regulation changes this year, there's a lot of detail. And if your listeners would like to get more details, how it works, how they can apply, where to go, there are a lot of different websites. But if they contact the National Committee, that number you gave, 1-800-966-1935, the year Social Security became law, that's why we picked it. It's easy to remember, I think. Or the website, ncpssm.org. If you go to that website, there'll be a lot of information. You'll find information about how to access these new improvements in the Medicare program that we've been talking about.
It's really critical for people to have this information. And I know that drug use among seniors, prescription drug use, is a problem. And so having this counseling over the phone would be life-saving in a lot of situations. And I like that it's on the phone because we don't have the broadband technology in a lot of the really rural areas. And also it's difficult. People may not have computers and or may not be able to access that on their cell phones, which I admit even I struggle with doing a Zoom call on my cell phone. I'm never sure where the screen is. So I'm sure some seniors may be way savvier than I, but that's wonderful to have it actually on the phone and to do that for people. As you said, Max, you are a wealth of information, and I hope that everything that you have said comes to pass, and we will be watching for that. As Max said, the number to call is 1-800-966-1935, 1-800-966-1935. If you want to learn more about this, or you can, if you're computer savvy or have a computer, log on to the National Committee's website, www.ncpssm.org. There is a tremendous amount of information, and they have a new page, so that will take you right to that, that will give you all of this information. Max, thank you so much again for being here. I hope you'll come back soon and share more with us as these things develop.
Well, Carol, I'll come back anytime you invite me. I appreciate you and what you're doing for your state and your community. So I'm all yours whenever you invite me.
Oh, that's very generous, Max. Thank you. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next time. That's it for me. This is Senior Talk.